God, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
You want to give me this? I want this. I'm looking for
one. No, I need this. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
You're looking good, church. Take a seat for a moment, please. Now, this is my passport, and it's got visas in it. Let me see. January 2013, 30-day visa to Nigeria. April 2013, 30-day visa to Nigeria. We'll leave that one for the moment. November 2013, 30-day, well, it's 3 months, but it's 30 days at a time, 3 months visa to Nigeria. And January this year, 30-day visa to Nigeria. However, I missed one, as you know, and this is, I'm rather disappointed, actually. It's the same colour, it looks the same, but it's a multiple entry 12-month visa to Nigeria. Why isn't it gold-plated? Why does it look the same as all the others? I mean, the hassle to get it, you'd have expected at least, wouldn't you, gold-plated? Praise God.
Hallelujah.
My ticket is booked for Tuesday. So I'm, my bags are packed, I'm ready to go. Almost. Why am I excited? Well, you see, you guys want to come here and I want to go there. There's something wrong here, isn't there? Do you know why I want to be there?
No.
Because that's where God wants me to be.
Hallelujah.
Why do you want to be here? Sure?
Yeah.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay. Well, as long as you have that absolute confidence, then we can be in agreement. Now, you remember, some of you, maybe you don't, Pastor Agu talked about Saul looking for his father's donkeys. He spoke about this. Anybody in the youth service in London a few weeks ago? And you heard him say about it then? Well, he was just saying the same message he said when he introduced me at the OMC back in April 2011. So I was very excited to hear him say it again. The point was that Saul went looking for donkeys. But that wasn't the reason that he went where he went. He really went to meet the prophet. So the prophet could speak the purpose that God had for him, which was to become the king of Israel. Amen?
Amen.
And as Pastor Agu said, many came to Britain looking for donkeys. Donkeys of education, better economic lifestyle. This is all 1 Samuel 9 we're talking about. Donkey of a husband? Do you really want a donkey of a husband? Would you want a donkey of a husband? You do know what donkeys are, don't you? Stubborn. Abby? Do you really want a donkey? Or what about a donkey of a wife? No. This is my current wife, by the way. Okay. She has been for 31 years. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I want to tell you about a pastor called Pastor Abraham Rogers. Anyone heard of him? Okay, he's the regional coordinator for Spain. But before he came to Spain, he went to a place called Equatorial Guinea. Do you know why he went to Equatorial Guinea? Because God told him to. Aha. Uh-huh. This is what happened. He went to the embassy, or the whatever it is, the High Commission or Consul, I don't know what it is, but he went to the embassy to get a visa, and there was this very obstreperous woman. She said to him, she's not very polite, and she says, "So, why do you want to go to Equatorial Guinea?" He says, "Because I'm a missionary, and I want to minister God's love." What? We do not need missionaries in Equatorial Guinea. You will not go to Equatorial Guinea. Now get out of here. I never want to see your face again. That's worse than the Nigerian High Commission. Uh-huh. And can you imagine it? Can you just imagine that? It's not very PC, is it? Not very politically correct. So what happened was, he went home and he prayed. You see, God had told him to go to Equatorial Guinea. So the next day, he went back with his wife. And he asked for this woman by name. He'd noticed her name on a plate and he asked for her. And when she came down, she exploded in rage. "I told you never to come back." And she took a breath. That was her mistake. And when she took a breath, he said, "I wanted to introduce my wife to you." And she stopped and she looked and she said, "This is your wife?" And he said, "Yes." And she said to her, "This is your husband?" And she said, yes. How terrible that must be for you. Married to him. Can you imagine this? Anyway, she said, no, he's a lovely husband, a wonderful husband. And the woman is this woman in the embassy, she's crazy. She's just going crazy. And then she takes another breath. And while she takes another breath, he says, her name is Mary. And the woman stops in mid-flow and says, your name is Mary? She said, yes. And the woman was confused. Something was happening in the spirit. And then she said, my mother is Mary. Now, I'll tell you what happened because of time. Time is short, it's always. When they left that embassy, they left with their visas, and they left with a letter written by this woman to her mother saying, when these people come, please accommodate them and show them hospitality until they find a home of their own. Isn't that the sort of visa you want? Amen?
Amen.
Seriously. That is confirmation that you are where God wants you to be. Because when a man's ways please the Lord, he will cause even his to be at. Amen. And that's what we need. You see, we need to have confidence. It says in 1 John, if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our hearts and knows all things. But if our heart condemns us not, then have we confidence towards God. And we need to have that confidence, my friends. We need to have the confidence in more than just natural living. Now here you are, 7 years into the history of this fellowship. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, when I was a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And I want to share with you something in these next couple of minutes before we pray that I believe will help you to be fruitful, because that's what God is looking for. Amen?
Amen.
Fruitful, but you won't be doing the work. He'll be doing the work through you.
Amen.
You see, in John 15, Jesus said this. If, notice if, conditional. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will bear much fruit. Because that is to my Father's glory. Come on, I go to Redeemed Churches on the first Sunday of the month. I'm witnessing people praying for the fruit of the womb. Well, my friends, my brothers, my sisters, it's time even men for us to bring forth the fruits of the womb. Amen? It's time for fruitfulness. See, the problem with me is I'm a revivalist. I believe that the only solution for the society is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm delighted. If I was in Lagos or Abuja or Port Harcourt now, and I was looking at this congregation, then I would be, it's exactly what it should look like. Africans in Africa. Amen? But I'm not in Africa. I'm in Swindon. And I only see Africans. Huh? Mission Control. Houston, we have a problem. Amen?
Amen?
It's no problem having a problem as long as you know you have a problem. Who said it early on? Was it Pastor? Did you say about your attitude determines your altitude? Now, it's interesting because I'm a pilot, right? You know I'm a pilot. Okay. Attitude normally does determine your altitude to a certain extent. You see, on an aircraft, your attitude is the angle that the aircraft is pointing. It's that way, but mostly it's up and down. And I watched a documentary yesterday evening about the Airbus that went from Brazil, was going from Brazil to Paris and crashed. Do you remember that? The A330, I think it was. And they eventually, after 2 years, they found the flight data recorder and the voice, cockpit voice recorder. And they pieced together what happened. And this is what happened. They had their nose pointing up to climb. They didn't know that they were going too slow. And they were stalling and they were falling to the ground, even though their nose was pointing upwards. Oh, my goodness. We can be aiming high and going down to crash and burn. Because you see, before they could go up, they needed to go down. Hello? And Mark chapter 4, Jesus talked a parable of the sower. Let's look at that for a second. It's so relevant to where we are as a church, my friends. Hallelujah. You know, you don't have to say amen. You can say ouch. Hallelujah. But this is good preaching because this is what we need to hear. I say we, I'm included. Okay. So what happens is that the sower goes and he sows into four different types or types of ground. Yes? Or four types of, there's four types of ground mentioned. And it says on in verse 16, and these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And listen to this, have no root in themselves. Ouch. And so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises, for what reason? For the word's sake. When affliction and persecution arise for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And then what happens? They produce no fruit. As I was just sat in the, up here, there a few moments ago and preparing to speak, I took a couple of verses that I've not quoted for many years. It's from Jeremiah 17, verse 7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters and that spreadeth out her roots by the river and shall not see when heat comes. Hallelujah. But her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall she cease from what? From yielding fruit. Well, I live in Salisbury, there's five rivers, and two of the rivers converge, and they come to this bend, and on this bend is a big tree, I think it's an oak tree. And if you look, you can see these thick roots that go down underneath the river. My dear friends, it doesn't matter how hot it gets up there, as long as those roots are going into the source of that water, it will always produce fruit, and its leaf shall not wither. Amen? Amen. And this is descriptive of Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of the scornful, but whose delight is in what? The law of the Lord, in which he meditates day and night. Now listen, there's two laws of the Lord. There's the Old Testament law of the Lord, there's the New Testament. And the testament that we have is built, according to Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6, is built on better, it's a better covenant, it's established on better promises. And it is better. It is better, 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 better. Because you see, we don't have to do anything in the new covenant. All we have to do is abide. Jesus got up in Mark 1:35, a great while before day, he left the house. And he went up into a mountain and he prayed in a secret place. And eventually his disciples came to him and they said, Lord, all men are seeking after you. You did your stuff the night before. They've come back for more. And he says, forget them, we're going down the road. What? You must have sunstroke, Lord. Are you dehydrated? Didn't you hear what we said? There's a revival waiting to take place. You need to come and do your stuff. We're going down the road. Ah! But this is it. We've waited for an opportunity for your name to be magnified. We can kick the Romans out. We're going down the road. Why did Jesus go down the road? Why did he do that? Because his Father told him to. That's the new covenant, my friends. That's the new covenant. If you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, then you'll get your multiple entry visa or your whatever it is, because if you're in the will of God, you'll get everything you need. When I send you out without script, without bag, without food, without shoes, without staves, when I sent you out, did you lack anything? Nay, Lord, nothing. That's the new covenant. It's not based upon our works. It's based upon our faith. A centurion came to Jesus and said, my servant is ill. Just speak the word. Speak the word. No offerings. Just speak the word. I too am a man under authority, and I say to this one, come, and he comes, and this one, go, and he goes. This is the new covenant. Actually, it wasn't even the new covenant in a sense. He was outside of the covenant of Israel. And yet, like the Syrophoenician woman who said, even the crumbs, the pups eat the crumbs that fall under their master's table. And Jesus saw these people who knew nothing of the oracles of the Old Testament. And he said, this is faith. Salvation has come this day. My brethren, this is what God wants to do in the next 7 years. I don't need to pray for you. You pray for you. But when you pray, be careful what you pray. You pray God's will. Amen? You cast your cares upon Him because He cares for you. If you want to know how to think, because as a man thinks in his heart, then read the epistles. The Old Testament was for the Jews. You can't take some of the Old Testament and leave some of it out. You can't take the blessings of Deuteronomy 28 verses 1 to 15 and leave out 16 to 61. The curses. Huh? And if you want to live by that, you better get some sheep and you better get some knives and you better start slaughtering animals. Because that's the Old Testament.
Yes, sir.
But the New Testament. Got two other times it says. 10 to 8. The New Testament. Started at Acts chapter 2. And on the day when the day of Pentecost was fully come. And they were all together in one place in agreement. There was a sound like the rushing sound of a mighty rushing wind. And who came? Oh yes! The promised Holy Ghost. And changed everything. And that's how we need to live. We need to live as Holy Ghost filled people. I was listening to me preaching 22 years ago on tape on the way here. Good preaching. Maybe. That's my wife. She was there. And I remember there was something on the tape. It was when I was in the Baptist church. I was still outside the door. And a woman came up to me. And she said, excuse me, can you tell me where the Spiritus church is? Now, I hadn't been a Christian for long at the time. And I remember I went something like this. Well, I could, but I wouldn't advise you go there. If you want to come to a church, why don't you come in here? And she said, where is it? And I told her, and off she went. And I went inside and I prayed. I was burdened for her. And when I opened my eyes, she was sat in the congregation. And I went up to her afterwards and I said, I'm so pleased you came. You know what she said? I had to. You spoke with such authority. I did. What she heard and what I said were not the same thing, my friends. You don't know what comes out of your mouth is the same as what goes into people's ears. Because on the day of Pentecost, everybody heard the gospel in their own language. These people, these ignorant and unlearned fishermen, they didn't know all the languages from Mesopotamia and Phoenicia and Thyatira and all these things. They didn't know anything except that the Holy Ghost had come. And the Holy Ghost was working through them. And the Holy Ghost wants to work through us. And when we get our eyes upon the purposes of God, we won't have to worry about our needs. Because Jesus said, if you seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. Amen?
Hallelujah.
So let's pray, shall we? Shall we stand up?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. I have got a few minutes. And pastors told me that I'm in trouble if I go over time. So I'm not going to. Hallelujah.
Amen.
My dear friends, I believe this weekend can be transformative.
Yeah.
But maybe different to what you expected. Let's cast the cares that we have upon Him, as your word says. Let's be anxious about nothing, but let's cast the cares upon Him and leave them with Him. Whether they are immigration or their jobs or their studies or relationships, cast the cares upon Him. Let's do that now. Let's do that now. Let's just pray. You don't have to shout out. You can do it quietly. You can do it loud. You can do what you like. You can stand up. You can lay down. You can swing off the lights. Do whatever you want. But you say, Lord, I cast those cares upon you. I cast them upon you.